True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, welcome back. No Willard, it's Dibs and Grandy with you here on Willard and Dibs on a Wednesday. Thanksgiving Eve.
Woo!
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, to you as well, Grandy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting a couple days off. I will be back on Saturday for Warriors live pre and post.
Up to the North Bay with the family for a little Thanksgiving?
Heading up to Windsor. Okay. We're all heading to our parents' house coming up. A couple of them, I think, are heading over tonight. A couple of my siblings heading up tonight. I will be there bright and early tomorrow morning.
And Uncle Grandy, is this going to be your first Thanksgiving as Uncle Grandy?
First Thanksgiving as an uncle.
Okay.
My niece, Isla, is what? A little more than 8 months now?
Okay.
First Thanksgiving, first holiday season.
Sure.
Excited to see her tomorrow.
Maybe we can mince up a little turkey for her.
Yeah.
So she can nom, you know?
Maybe a little,
you know. She's probably rocking about two teeth right now, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit. And she's right on the edge of learning to crawl.
Okay.
She's right on that edge.
That's great.
She might, who knows, maybe she'll crawl this weekend.
Yeah, put on a show for the family.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We'll see how it all plays out. But that's coming up tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. We are getting ready for the Thanksgiving holiday here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. We've got our guy, Greg Kelsall, coming up in about 15 minutes right here on Willard and Dibs. We'll see if Dibs can make it two straight weeks with a great question from Kelsall. You got that last week, right?
Yeah, last week. Yeah. And we've been poring over the notes, and I'm sure, you know, the headlines are, you know, what did you see on film about the interceptions? All three of them, we'll talk about those.
You have to coach me through this because I haven't done many of these Kelsall interviews. Should I just say, I mean, Greg, Purdy stinks, am I right?
That usually doesn't play. You would be wrong, would be the response. You know, you usually try to stick to the tape, and I do want to ask him about the other touchdown where they got their second touchdown, the first in the second half where they went to a 22 personnel, true I formation.
The McCaffrey run?
That was the McCaffrey run.
It was well blocked.
And he'll get into more detail, but they had the two tight ends to the boundary side of the formation, the strong side, and yet they went the other way, and Kittle comes off, and he goes all the way across the field, and he gets one of the last blocks
of the play.
That.
So, he lined up on the right side of the formation.
Along with Farrell.
And they pitch it left.
Exactly.
And Kittle...
checks leading the way.
Yeah, and a couple pulling offensive linemen. I forget, maybe Brendel was one of the pulling offensive linemen.
I'm sure Trent
mashed
somebody as well.
Of course. And they ran to his side. He was involved.
And Juice had the block at, like, the 7 or the 8 where... You know, he's out there running free, and he gets the one person, and then McCaffrey cuts back, and here comes 85. Mostly unnecessary, but here comes 85.
Yeah.
He wants a piece of somebody.
It was a special viewing experience for me Monday because I was working the Warrior game Monday night, so I couldn't watch the Niner game live, so I recorded it, and once I got home, I went and watched it. So, I'm kind of like fast-forwarding through the downtime between snaps, except for when there's key moments I want to hear, you know, Buck and Aikman break it down. But on that play, I rewound and watched it like 8 different times because there were so many players to keep an eye on. And one that popped out, it's funny you bring it up, was Kittle, because Kittle kind of just uninvolved in the play for the most
part. Right.
And then as the play continues and as McCaffrey like breaks from the initial wave of defenders, Kittle comes racing over from the other side of the field and just like dives headlong at one of the last blockers and just gets in his way just enough to free McCaffrey for a touchdown. He might have maybe broken a tackle and got in anyway.
Yeah.
But just the effort that Kittle puts in on every play, I think it was on display in that one particularly.
It's total FOMO because the play is not to his side. And he has a job, and his job is, you know, to kind of seal that side. But the play is going the other way.
Yeah.
So you do what you do, and then you realize, I want to be a part of this. I want more. So you run all the way across from the numbers outside the hash mark, all the way across, and you get a piece of somebody, not a full piece, but enough to allow McCaffrey to get in. And you're thinking, yeah, this is what he does, George Kittle. And just talking about the Purdy part of the game and, oh, he was so terrible. On that drive, he was, checks notes, 5 for 5, including 3rd and 6 at the 29. He hit Jennings for 10. And, you know, he was mostly on that drive, awesome. And the first drive of the game, he was near perfect. So we talk about how bad he was, and I'm sure Greg Cosell will speak to this. By and large, outside of that 8-throw stretch, which was dreadful, Brock Purdy was really good again.
Yeah, but I mean,
and it's hard for people to like look at it that way.
I mean,
3 picks. Oh my God.
Besides all the bad plays, the guy was good.
Sure. Sure.
And I know these bad plays just kind of were all in one little clump of game, which makes it easier to just take that clump out. But quarterbacking's tough, and the standard is very high, and the expectation is just take care of the ball. You can't turn the ball over 3 times. Bottom line.
Like, you can't.
End of story.
But, I mean, if you look at it watching the game, and I know you've watched it at least once, probably twice,
yeah.
Like, which quarterback was better? Boy, that's a...
Probably Brock, but I don't feel great about that.
Bryce,
I mean,
he threw a pick at the 1-yard line. Like that.
Yeah, Brock threw 3 interceptions. One of them was in the end zone, and another one gave the Panthers an immediate scoring opportunity,
which they didn't cash in on.
Because of the defense.
Correct. So, I mean, you look at Bryce Young, he had a play from the 1-yard line, which would have tied the game.
Honestly, frankly, I'm more upset at the play calling there from the Panthers.
Well, possibly.
I mean, the play...
First and goal from the 1. Just run the ball with Rico Dowdle. What are you doing?
All right. Or if you're not going to, and it's an RPO, and you're drifting out on the right, and you see, maybe I could run, or I could try to float one on first down, that's where you throw the ball out of the back of the end zone.
Bad decision, no doubt.
Yeah. For me, that's less on the play call than it is on the actual play. But honestly, if I look at the whole game in totality, Brock Purdy, even with 3 picks, he was better than Bryce Young. I'm Dan Dibley, and I support that statement.
It probably says more about Bryce Young than it does about Brock.
A little bit. I mean, if Bryce Young was a 3.5 out of 10 and Brock Purdy was a 5.5 out of 10, then yeah, there you have it.
What grade did you give Brock when we did Grandy's grades yesterday?
I gave him
a D minus.
I gave him a D plus. Yeah, because for me,
so that's more like a
67,
out of, yeah.
Somewhere in there. But honestly, like, we don't do it that way it's a little bit on a curve. And so I gave him a higher grade than most because of the first drive of the game touchdown, the first drive of the 3rd quarter touchdown. Those were drives where he was awesome. He was 10 for 10 in the second half. So, yes, his middle stretch, I'm not going to try to sweep it under the rug.
Oh, you kind of are.
I'm really not. That's like trying to sweep a possum under the rug. Like, oh boy, what's that lump in the rug? I'm not sweeping that under the rug. It's you put the rat on the table, brought to you by Atco Pest Control. And the rat is, he threw 3 picks. 2 were ghastly. 1 was a little bit unsightly, but thank you. other than that, like, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? But even this went better than that. I mean, spoiler alert for you Lincoln fans, Mrs. Lincoln went to a funeral 5 days later. Brock Purdy went home with a win.
Which, again, is the point that I'm trying to make, why I'm actually encouraged.
Me too.
Because Brock was terrible. I'm just not trying to say, take away Brock's 4 terrible plays and it was all good otherwise. I mean, quarterbacking, maybe it's unfair, the standard that we hold quarterbacks to in 1 play, 2 plays, 3 plays. You're involved in, over the course of an NFL game, and this game was a little different for Brock because they didn't throw the ball a ton. I mean, Brock, they did throw it 32 times, not very much in the second half, but say you throw the ball 30 times. You make the right decision and almost picture-perfect throws on 27 of those 30 throws. And then three, you turn the ball over. Terrible decisions, terrible throws, whatever it was. That's a bad game. Three outweighs the bunch of good. That's just what happens in the NFL at the quarterback position.
It's all context. And like, if you throw a pick with 8 seconds left in the second quarter and you're at your own 40-yard line, sure, and you're trying like heck to get in a position.
The three interceptions that Purdy threw, though, were not those situations.
Correct. And the first one, to me, was the worst one because you're first and 10 at your own 8. Your defense just forced a 3-and-out. You're up 7-0. And now you're going to go ahead and try to take a shot. And if it wasn't max protect, it was damn near because Jennings was about the only one on the route and he threw it late and it got picked off. And Greg Cosell will break down more on that coming up. That was bad. And luckily your defense had your back. And the second one, it was 2nd and 8 at your own 35. And actually that was the third one. I apologize. The second one was you were in the outer red zone area and you're driving down to again take control of the game and you didn't. So yeah, the picks were not good. I'm not trying to dismiss them, but other than that, Grandy, he was damn good.
Well, you used to call Willard the dismisser, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're kind of being the dismisser.
Well, I mean, you play to win the game.
And they won the game, not because of Brock.
Not in spite of Brock.
Oh, well, they kind of won. Yeah, they won in spite of Brock.
It was more in spite of than because of, but outside of that little stretchy stretch, he was really good. That's all I'm saying.
Sure, but the stretchy stretch in which he was not good, he was patently awful.
It's bad, yeah. But it ultimately didn't cost him the game. And in the second half, Shanahan adjusted the play calling and Brock went out there and executed and they took care of business.
All right, we can talk more about this as we continue. We do have Greg Cosell joining us on the other side. Senior producer at NFL Films. Going to want to pick his brain about everything Brock Purdy related, about the Niners offensive line, about Jair Brown and the Niners defense. And we got to ask him about what's standing between the Niners and their 9th win. And that is Myles Garrett. What a performance he has been putting on of late. We'll talk about all that with Greg Cosell. Plus, as a reminder, our Thanksgiving blowout continues this hour. If you want to win a pair of tickets to see AC/DC at Levi's in August, just keep listening because when you hear the air horn sounder later this hour, that will be your cue to call the contest line. Again, don't do it now. Wait for the air horn sounder. You want to be the 5th caller to the contest line. That's how you win the AC/DC tickets. Plus, tomorrow, we'll bring you Chiefs and Cowboys at 1 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mahomes versus Dak as you eat your Thanksgiving feast. Chiefs and Cowboys, 1 o'clock tomorrow, right here on 95.7 The Game. Greg Cosell is next as he joins us on Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you coming up after this on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard today. It's Dibs and Grandy with you here on Willard and Dibs. And today is our Thanksgiving blowout. Every hour we're giving away prizes. We got another prize coming up later on this hour. It is AC/DC tickets at Levi's Stadium on August 5th. So if you want to grab those tickets, make sure you keep listening. Wait for the air horn, and that's your cue to call and try to win those tickets. But right now here on Willard and Dibs with Dibs and Grandy, it is Greg Cosell, the great Greg Cosell of NFL Films, joining us as he does every week here on Willard and Dibs. Greg, it's Mark Grandy in for Mark Willard, along with Dan Dibley, as always. Happy early Thanksgiving. How you doing, Greg?
Well, I think for those about to rock, we salute you.
I was going to ask you about your love for AC/DC. I know you're a classic rocker, and AC/DC is certainly among them. The Bon Scott era, you and I go back far enough to remember, and then Brian Johnson stepped in, maybe one of the great backup quarterbacks in classic rock history.
Yes, indeed. Music was great. I mean, I'm a big fan of, you know, all that, the blues rock sound from the 70s. That's the music. I still listen to that, you know. I probably shouldn't tell you guys this or the people listening, but I never, ever listen to anybody ever talking to me in my car. I just listen to music, you know. So, yeah, I can hear the same song 1,000 times, and if I like it, I'm fine with it.
And it, fantastic. Early for me with older brothers and an older sister, it was all early AC/DC, Highway to Hell, and then Back in Black came out, and You didn't want to love it because Bond was gone, but rock lives on. And then, wow, Greg, that album, as far as a first album with a new lead singer, that's got to be up there on the short list for you.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, I can't remember every song on it, you know, because...
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
I listen to Sirius, so I hear the songs they play, but I can't remember every song, but that was a great album. A great album.
Yeah, opening with Hell's Bells, just the tone of the bells. It's like a Kyle Shanahan 15-play scripted drive, am I right?
Yeah, I probably see those things a little differently, but that's all right.
Oh, if you want to win tickets, Greg, just keep listening and give us a call coming up when you hear the air horn. But let's talk about this Niner game on Monday Night Football against the Panthers, a 20-9 win. As I'm sure you would have guessed, the major topic is Brock Purdy and his interceptions. Three of them. I wonder if you could give us your synopsis, what you saw on film from Brock Purdy as a whole, but specifically those three interceptions.
Well, I would say this in general. Based on just Purdy since he came back, but he's played two games, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Since he came back. I mean, I would say right now he's not playing with the same high level of post-snap processing and anticipation. Those two things work together that we have seen define his game in the past. Because Purdy's always been an elite post-snap processor, and that leads to outstanding anticipatory throws. That's been really who he is because he doesn't have a big arm. So I would say that, those things have been, he's been a beat late. Like, for instance, that interception, the first one to Horn, he was a beat late on the dig ball to Jennings to start that second possession. And he left the ball a little too far outside. A Horn recovered and made the interception. So it was the right decision and just a late throw. And he certainly can't be late on dig balls. He doesn't have the natural arm strength to compensate. The second one was a little more interesting to me as to, what exactly happened. I almost feel like I would need to know from Brock Purdy, what his thoughts on the play. The throw ended up being late and short and too far inside. But Purdy on that play initially looked to his left. Now, based on the coverage, to me, and again, you never know how a guy's coached based on a route concept and combination. But to me, based on how the defense reacted, I thought that the throw was to Pearsall. But he looked left, and then the pressure forced him to climb the pocket and then look to Pearsall. So it ended up being late. But you can argue it wasn't the wrong read, but he got to it really late, and the throw was not accurate. I don't know if he would have gotten to Pearsall within structure if there was no pressure, but he obviously was late. The third interception was just you couldn't blame him at all. I mean, that was just an unbelievable play by Horn. There's no way any quarterback would have seen Horn. Just no way. He came from the other side of the field. No one controlled him with a route, so he just – that's why Horn's Horn. That was just a great play.
Is that one that you would chalk up perhaps to the design? I know you don't want to criticize Shanahan and what he does because you're not in the room, but you had nobody on that side of the field to occupy to the boundary side.
Yeah, I can only tell you what happened. I mean, they were in a 1x3 nub set off the motion by Robinson, and they ran all go to the trip side, and there was no backside boundary route that controlled Horn. Now, 99% of the corners in the league would not fly over the way Horn did. So you have to give Horn credit. But, yeah, there's no question that there was no backside route that controlled Horn. So he just, as a really smart, aware, savvy player, he rotated hard inside, cutting in front of the dig by Pearsall. But there was no way Purdy could have accounted for him.
So the first two interceptions, Greg, and Greg Cosell, NFL Films, with us here on Willard and Dibbs, the first two interceptions, Greg, you seem to be in lockstep with what Kyle Shanahan said postgame, which was essentially not, bad decisions, just seeing it late, and then maybe not executing the throw perfectly either. I'm curious what you think in your experience the fix is or the cause is for something like that for a quarterback. Is it just at times it happens, as simple as a bad day? Could it possibly be related to something physically? In your experience, what would you say is potentially the reason for that kind of thing from a guy who generally is good at that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not there every day, but, what Purdy as a post-snap operator with unbelievable anticipation, that's what he was for his first – this is his fourth year, right? Fourth year in the league?
Yes.
Yeah. He's been great at that. That's been his game. So – on those particular plays, he was not. I don't view that as, oh my God, there's a big problem. It's a second game back. He's probably still maybe getting his feet wet. There was a little bit of pressure on the first one, and maybe he, reacted to it and he didn't need to. But, I don't think there's a red flag here. There's a large sample size of him being really, really good as an elite post-snap operator. So, those two are... he didn't handle real well. But all you have now is the next game. And by the way, the next game is a difficult game because I've talked to a lot of offensive coaches in the league who think that Jim Schwartz is as difficult a defensive coordinator to play against as any in the league. And I know when they played a couple of years ago, that was a game they lost on the missed field goal late in the game. And if he made it, they would have won the game. But, I remember Schwartz did a really good job of understanding all those inbreakers that are a staple of the Kyle Shanahan offense, and did a really good job taking those away with what he did on the back end with some disguise and late rotation. And you're likely to see those kinds of things again. Now, Kyle Shanahan will know this too. So this game to me sets up as a great chess match.
Yeah. And the last time the Niners won in Cleveland, Greg, you and I both had much longer hair and we were rocking out to AC/DC in real time, 1984, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. So were we in the era of the big hair bands at that point?
I think we were. Yeah. I mean,
were we getting there? Were we getting there with the power ballads? Were we getting there?
I think we were still pre-Poison, and I don't think Whitesnake hadn't reared its ugly head
too
yet.
Early, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting
a little too early.
Yeah, we were still post-Kiss and pre-Poison, and
this was probably more like the Journey, Farner, Styx stage, right?
Yeah, it sounds about right. Maybe a sprinkle of late Bad Company as well, as Greg and I talk classic rock from the 80s. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're bringing me back to my youth. I want to ask you about the Bryce Young interceptions, because 2 weeks ago, God, he was just spectacular. And then he came out here and kind of laid an egg, first and goal at the one. and Jair Brown's able to get him for the first of two times. What did you see from those picks? Was it great defense or just poor offense?
I would say the first one was a combination. The one in the end zone was a combination of a poor read by Young and an excellent play by Brown. Brown was aligned on the edge to the field, which was Young's boot side. Young threw to Evans on the backside crosser at the back of the end zone, but there was no receiver to control Brown, so Brown just read Young and made the interception. I mean, you know, it was just Young was not aware that Brown was there and could react because no receiver controlled him, and then Young threw it probably thinking that Brown would not be a factor on the throw, and he was. It was a really good play. And the second one was in the fourth quarter, and I thought that that was a really good play by Brown. You know, he showed excellent recognition and reaction. McMillan ran the dig from the boundary. Brown read the route and Young. He planted. He drove on the throw. It was just a really good play. He read it. I feel like watching the tape that Brown and Mustafa are kind of settling in to being a pretty good safety tandem. It's clear that they feel those are the two best safeties. They obviously play what we call big nickel, and Pinnick plays a lot of snaps with them. But really, Brown and Mustafa are the safeties, and I think they're both playing well.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films senior producer, with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Greg, maybe much like what the safeties are doing, it feels like the offensive line is kind of settling in as well. Last 2 weeks, maybe their two best weeks of the season as a whole. I know that they've gotten healthier, which certainly has helped. It also seems like individuals are just playing better than they have at other stages of the season. What did you see from the Niners' offensive line on tape in this game on Monday night? And is that becoming maybe not a strength, but less of a glaring weakness for this Niners team?
Well, I think you're seeing, McCaffrey have runs now where he's getting past the first level of the defense, and that's a big deal because that wasn't happening early in the season. So I think it's coming together a little bit. I guess since Barch came back week 10, they've been rotating Barch and Burford. They each played the same number of snaps in this game. Who knows what the next game will be, if it's one or the other, or if they continue to do that. I think Pooney, who struggled, I thought he struggled through a good part of the first half of the season in his second year. You know, sometimes that happens. I think he's settling down a little bit, not where I'm sure they'd like him to be, but better than he was early in the season. I thought, like for instance, the McCaffrey touchdown run, which was just really sweet. Oh. I mean, that's one of the reasons I kind of love watching tape. When you see a play like that, that play was so well executed. I mean, it was an ISO lead toss into the boundary. Barch made the really difficult block. He had the front side reach block on the three technique Wharton. That's a really, really hard block. And he made it really well. And then, of course, you had Brendel and Williams showing outstanding mobility and body control, working to the second level. And, of course, it was Juszczyk who, kicked out the corner. But that was just one of those really pretty plays to watch. And then I think on the next series, McCaffrey had the 17-yarder. So the longer runs, again, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to have a 35-yard run this week. It's a really hard defense to play against. But I think the run game is starting to just generate a little more sustainability to it. And you just got to love McCaffrey. The guy is just so physically tough, competitive. I mean, he's just a fun guy to watch.
Yeah, and still with a chip on his shoulder at this late date. And I'm glad you broke down that play because Grandy and I were talking about it before. 22 personnel, and Kittle comes all the way across the field from outside the numbers just to get a piece of somebody at the tail end of that. Even though the play didn't go to his side, the strong side where the two tight ends were.
Yeah, no, it's and that's the key thing. I mean, even there was...
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top-load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Tom, it's funny you mentioned that because on the 17-yarder, which started the series right after that, you probably saw this. Pearsall had a great block on the safety, Scott. I mean, that's sort of the way, you know, Kyle. I mean, if you're going to play for Kyle with the run game, your receiver is, it's not a matter of pancaking people. That doesn't happen in the league, but you've got a block. And that was the first thing I noticed on that 17-yarder, the way Pearsall came in from the outside and really, you know, he laid the wood on the safety, Scott, the filling safety, and that allowed McCaffrey to have a 17-yard run instead of a 5-yard run.
Greg, you brought up Ricky Pearsall, who, much like Purdy, has played two games since coming back from a relatively long absence, hasn't done a whole lot in terms of catches and yards, 3 catches for 6 yards in those two games. I know you're a big fan of his, and you talk about his shiftiness and his route running ability. Have you seen on tape those things still show up, and is it just as simple as him not getting the ball, or what are you seeing from him?
Randy, we've discussed this a lot, you know, and I don't know if you've heard me discuss this. This is not an offense that focuses on a receiver. So, you know, what's happened in these two games to me doesn't mean anything. It's not like, oh, my God, what's wrong with Ricky Pearsall? They don't worry. They don't go into a game with the idea that we better get the ball to Ricky Pearsall now. He's played two games, and, boy, he hasn't had a ton of targets. That's not the way they play offense. You know, don't forget, Pearsall was actually wide open on that interception he threw in the end zone, and he didn't go to him, to my way of thinking, you know, with the proper timing. If he went to him with the proper timing, it would have been a touchdown, and my guess is you probably wouldn't have asked me the question, you know, but because they don't really play like that. You know, it's not – they're not going to come out this week and say, you know what, we're playing Cleveland. We better throw it to Ricky Pearsall, you know. So he'll get his plays. It'll show up. And, you know, just like Kittle. Kittle is – he's almost week to week, too, as a receiver. You never know if he's going to be – you know, if he's going to get 8 targets or he's going to get 2 targets. It's just the way games play out.
And you talk about this weekend. It's a tough spot. It's a morning game. Yep. It's the 13th game in 13 weeks. What do they do to try to slow down 95, Myles Garrett? Because, Greg, as you know, this guy is a game wrecker. So when you look at the film – what do teams do that works? Have you seen anything work against this guy this year?
Well, I think you probably tell him it's a late game and not an early game.
I hope that he shows up later. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy's ridiculous. He's got 18 sacks, and he's on pace for 28 sacks, which, again, is ridiculous. You know, this is going to be a really interesting thing to see how Kyle deals with this, because McKivitz, normally Garrett lines up on the left side of the defense, the right side of the offense. Not 100%, but normally. And McKivitz has always struggled in one-on-one pass protection. So this is going to be a game where Kyle's going to know this. This is not going to be a big surprise, by the way. So there's going to be a lot going on here with motions, with formations, with misdirections. There's going to be a lot going on that deal with Garrett. Now, obviously, if you get into too many third and nines, then you got to decide, are you keeping Juszczyk in? If you go three wide and Juszczyk's not on the field, do you have to keep your tight end in? You certainly don't want to keep Kittle in, but it might be a game where you have to. So it could be a game where Kittle is not a highly targeted receiver. And again, I'm just throwing out options. I'm not saying this will or won't happen because none of us know. But the point is, if you start getting into those long yardage situations, too many of them, you can't let McKivitz block him one-on-one unless you're going to have a three-step drop throw. You know, unless it's going to be one of those quick timing throws and the ball's out. But if it's long yardage and you need a deeper drop, you're going to have to do something to make sure it's not a pure one-on-one matchup.
Yeah, Greg, Myles Garrett obviously seems to be like a lock at this stage for Defensive Player of the Year. So he's obviously an amazing trump card to have on a defense. But you were talking about the defense as a whole, and Jim Schwartz historically has gotten over on Kyle Shanahan. What does the defense as a whole do that makes it tough? Not just Myles Garrett. He obviously, of course, is a big part of it. But what about the defense as a whole?
Well, the main thing that I've always noticed, and Jim Schwartz was in Philly for a number of years, and I did get a chance to talk to him a couple of times, he is so good at disguise and rotation on the back end. So what you see pre-snap is not what you necessarily get post-snap, but it's subtle. He's not one of those guys that like runs people out, you know, where it's obvious that, oh, this guy, he started here, but now he's going to be all the way over there. It's very, very subtle. Like sometimes the distinction between his cover two and cover three is so hard to figure out, even watching tape. Imagine trying to figure that out when you have, you know, 2.5 seconds at most to throw the ball and you're taking your drop. So it just, there's so many subtle little variations in his coverage with his rotations that it's difficult to figure, and it's hard to play against. And like I said, I've had coaches tell me that he's one of the toughest defensive coordinators to play against. This is not an easy game. I mean, obviously all the talk's going to be about Shedeur Sanders, and his game was, you know, was, they didn't even ask him to do very much. He made one phenomenal throw, which was truly phenomenal, but they didn't ask him to do much at all. But that's going to be the talk with this game. But really, the 49ers offense, Browns defense, is the much more interesting tactical element to this game.
I couldn't agree with you more, but now that you brought it up, I want to know what you've seen from Shedeur, not only in his game plus as a pro, but I know you crunch a lot of college tape.
Yeah.
What does he do well, and what does he struggle with that maybe the Niners can take advantage of?
Well, you know, one of the things I think he has to get better at is he's a little slow twitch in his drop. And you know, it a lot of guys, when they get to the NFL from college, because the college game is so different. And, you know, he always was a guy that stayed in the pocket a little too long. He didn't see it as quickly as you wanted him to. But it was hard. It's been hard to get a read, to be honest, with what he's done, even in this start. They had, some third and longs, and they threw screens. One of them went for a 66-yard touchdown, which gave him big numbers. I understand why he threw the interception he did. We're not going to break that down, but I totally understand why he threw it. And he did make the one unbelievable play where the Raiders went cover zero, forced him out of the pocket because there was a free hitter at him, and he made a phenomenal throw to Isaiah Bond. The ball went 60 yards in the air. He put it right on the money. It was a phenomenal play. But they didn't really, you know, it was a game where they were in control, and they didn't really ask him to make difficult throws or to have to stay in the pocket for a long time. So hopefully, if you're a Niners fan, this game plays out differently and they have to have more dropbacks. He only had 22 in the game this past week. Hopefully you can get to the point where he's got to drop back 30, 35 times, and you can force him to have to go through progressions and see things, and, you know, we'll see how the game plays out.
Greg, Thanksgiving tomorrow, three good NFL games, Packers, Lions, Chiefs, Cowboys, Bengals, Ravens. What does Thanksgiving look like for Greg Cosell? You just planted on the couch watching football all day, or what do you got on the schedule tomorrow?
Well, I'll be in the office probably for about 6 hours in the morning because there's still games I got to see from this past week. And then we go to my brother-in-law's, and he best have the early game on because we're going around 1:30, I think. So Thanksgiving for me normally is a day where I can't just sit and like watch the games, you know, because it's a family day. So, yeah, they're on, but, you know, you know, I just can't sit there and be separate from everybody else and watch the games. You know, it's hard to do that.
What's the scouting report on the brother-in-law's turkey? Overly dry, undercooked, stuffing is not great.
It's the first year we're doing this. We've normally done something else, which was like a big, big family event, but people are spread out a little bit more this year. So this will be the first time. So I don't know. I don't know what the game plan is. I don't know if I have to call an audible. I don't know.
I love it. I hope that you can script your first 15 bites. And I also hope that you have a full analysis of the meal for us for next week.
Oh, but you know, I try not to overeat during the week, but Thanksgiving is one of those days where, you don't go into Thanksgiving thinking I'm going to be eating kale and granola. It's just not one of those days,
Exactly.
This is when you take advantage.
That's
absolutely
right. That's right.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate your time as always. Have a great holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg. That's Greg Cosell of NFL Films with us here on Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you. Great as always. A lot of good stuff there. Not worried about Ricky Pearsall, not worried about Brock Purdy, but worried about Myles Garrett and that Browns defense.
As he should, and, you know, the Schwartz defense and the wide nine that they run, it's given Shanahan's teams problems in the past, and these matchups have always been difficult. And I liked what you said about the offensive line, because I do think that the line has played better, but you're talking about against Arizona, not an elite defense, and Carolina, middle of the pack defense. Now you're going up against maybe the second best defense in football, right behind the Houston Texans. So, all right, McKivitz, you're going up against number 95, Myles Garrett. If you're going to have 60 snaps against that guy, you're not going to go 60 for 60, but try to hold your own over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. Don't worry, we did not forget. Our Thanksgiving blowout continues this hour and the next 2 hours of the show as well. Whenever you hear the air horn, don't know exactly when, I can tell you it's coming in our next segment. So stay right where you are. You're going to want to be here to listen for the air horn sounder, because when you hear that, you have an opportunity to win AC/DC tickets at Levi's on August 5th. That's coming up on the other side as we continue. Plus, today is a Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Dibs and Grandy continues next on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. It's Willard and Dibs, but no Willard. Grandy in, so Dibs and Grandy with you here on Willard and Dibs on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Just got off the River Islands guest line with Greg Cosell. Great, as always. I wanted to ask him about Thanksgiving plans, because that's a guy that lives in for football. And for film, and for watching football games, and then watching it again and again and again. So I wanted to ask, Thanksgiving, it's a family holiday. You spend time with family, generally. But there's also football on all day long. So what happens, Greg, when a football guy and a family guy has to decide what to do on a holiday? And he was like, I can't just sit on the couch and watch football all day.
Right.
Which I feel like there's a lot of us who probably feel, not that pain because you're spending time with your family, but understand kind of the decision that you got to make on days like tomorrow.
Yes, and it's his job to know something about everything or know everything about everything. Yeah. And so being on the East Coast, the first kick is at 1. Not like here where you get that 10 o'clock Thanksgiving game. So he has until 1 to get up. And he talked about doing 6 hours in the office. So he'll be up about 6, I'm sure. And
he's catching up on week 12 still.
Right. So he'll do 6 hours of week 12, and then he'll go over and, watch the game, the 10 o'clock game for us, which is 1 o'clock back
Packers,
east.
Packers, Lions.
He's not just going to totally lock in, but he'll be watching it and he'll be aware. And, if you're a member of his family, you understand that this is what he does. This is what he has to do.
Yeah.
But no matter what he watches, he'll go back and do the rewatch by the time he gets to his shows on Sunday and Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what that means. It's time to give away the next prize in our Thanksgiving blowout. Up for grabs right now is a pair of tickets to see AC/DC at Levi's on August 5th. And who knows, maybe Greg Cosell will be there and you can say what's up to Greg. All you need to do is be the fifth caller to the contest line right now. That's 415-523-4652. Again, 415-523-4652. I see someone. calling the normal call-in line. If you want to talk to us, do that. But if you're trying to win the tickets, you're calling the wrong number, 415-523-4652. Good luck. And remember, if you don't win the AC/DC tickets this time, we are giving away Warriors and Magic tickets for the game December 22nd. That's coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So if you were not lucky enough to win yet today, just keep listening because we've got more prizes to give away later on today. Here on 95.7 The Game, it is our Thanksgiving blowout. Plus, we are chatting with Tim Roy coming up in about 25 minutes here on Willard and Dibs as well. The Warriors honoring both Tim Roy and Bob Fitzgerald for their 30-plus years calling the action both on TV and on the radio. Looking forward to that conversation as well. Something, though, that Greg Cosell talked about, Dibs, that I think is worth bringing back up. We spent a lot of time so far discussing not just Brock Purdy, believe it or not, which has been, of course, a lot of the talk so far this week, reacting to his three interceptions and all of that. I asked Greg, though, what he saw from Brock with those three interceptions specifically, and he said essentially he's not playing with the same kind of post-snap processing anticipation that he normally plays with. And Cosell used the word elite at earlier in the answer to describe how Brock normally is with that kind of post-snap processing. He said he's elite at that, and he hasn't seen that from him specifically in this game and maybe even at times against Arizona, although he was largely good in that game. I think what's concerning to me and the Niner fans, Dibs, is that to me does not feel like something that should be impacted by the toe or any other physical ailment. The ability to throw the ball, sure, or to rip it or to have confidence to rip it, I think is one thing, but just the anticipation and the processing, that just feels like a mental thing more than anything else.
It could be, but it also could be because of the toe, where the first interception, it's a max protect, and you've got basically the route is designed for Juwan Jennings to run 18 yards down the field, run Horn off his spot, and then cut across in a deep in or a dig, whatever the route concept was. He gets back to his seven-step drop, and instead of just letting it fly and throwing it to space and having the faith that Juwan was going to win, he hitched and he stepped up and he waited, and then Juwan broke across, then he threw it, and at that point it was too late. And so I don't know if it's processing or if it's rust or if it's a lack of confidence in the toe to be able to deliver a tight throw. Maybe it's a little bit of everything, but you're seeing reluctance. I don't know if it's as much he's not reading it or he's not seeing it. And the second pick where you've got Pearsall open, and Greg said he was wide open, yep, and he was. And Pearsall's got a yard or two. He's got the defender on his back. All Brock has to do is throw it far out in front and let Ricky go and get it, and he doesn't have the timing or the confidence, and he stepped up in the pocket, and then he threw it late. He didn't rip it, and he threw it behind Pearsall, and he allowed Mike Jackson, to come in and just take it right away in easy fashion. So those two picks, I agree with Greg, and then the third one, he's right, where
amazing play.
Yeah, great play, and I thought it was a poor design because you didn't have anybody to occupy Horn, yeah, on the boundary side, and so he was smart to play it the way he did, which is, no one's on my side of the field. Let me go get involved and see what I might be able to do. So the third one to me was not on Brock. That was on Kyle. But the first two were throws that he normally would make more competitive than he did.
Yeah.
Those were not competitive throws.
It's not like any of those throws are ones where you're saying, Brock, you can't make that throw. What are you even doing thinking about that? Like, right, he's made those throws a lot of times over the last handful of years.
And I do think that both of the players at times in that play were open. They weren't throws, yeah, of like, what are you doing? Like, did you not see the linebacker, or did you not see that he was double teamed? They were open, but he was late on the first one, and the second one he didn't put out far enough in front. So those to me were more physical errors than they were errors in him not reading it.
Yeah, here's what Shanahan said after the game on Monday night about the three interceptions. I want to bring it up because Greg Cosell was basically in lockstep. Here's what Shanahan had to say about the three interceptions.
I just had three throws you'd love to take back. They're all three good decisions. Just a hair late on them, and when you're a hair late on stuff, you can't throw it behind them. And he threw it behind him, and all three guys made him pay.
That's basically what Greg Cosell said. The only difference was Greg Cosell was really talking about that for the first two picks. the third pick, maybe not perfect by Purdy, but more so just a great play by who was the
that was Horn, the
yeah,
second
JC
one
Horn
yeah,
again,
the third
his
one.
Second interception of the game. He had the first and the third. But that was essentially what Shanahan saw live, because he hadn't watched the tape yet at that point, is also what Greg Cosell saw after watching the tape, which is interesting because I think most people would say, well, it was a bad decision and a poor execution of the throw. But what Greg Cosell is saying is Brock saw it and it was the right decision because the guy was open, but he just saw it and maybe threw it a little bit late, which I don't know what's worse. Would you rather your guy misread it and make a throw into a spot that he shouldn't make the throw at all, or see it but maybe not be able to execute the throw on time? I don't know what's better.
I'd rather
have
the latter, like a guy who sees it, and Brock pre-snap and Brock's ability to diagnose in real time is elite, and that's what everybody has said, from Kurt Warner all the way across football, Shanahan, and many other people who know a lot more about football than I do. One of the common themes is that Brock sees it and he's able to diagnose it pre-snap and post-snap as good, if not better, than anybody. And so that is something that I would much rather have my quarterback have, as opposed to, man, he just doesn't see it. And, you know, you get to your first read, and if it's not open, then you either panic or you check it down early, as opposed to, let's go to our secondary, our tertiary, whatever it is, then run. And I think that Brock's been really good at that. But the problem that he has had this year, it's either because the toe, I don't buy it. If the toe was so bad, he still wouldn't play. But I think that he is making throws that are late, and maybe he's not as confident in what he's doing than he used to be, where, you know, he would just step back there and let it rip. And I know he's more of a, he's not a soft tosser, but he's more of a finesse quarterback. He's a guy who's going to throw it accurately to a spot. He's not just going to, you know, oftentimes pump it between defenders and let it rip.
Like Kaepernick would do. Kaepernick
sure.
threw fastballs.
Even like Shedeur Sanders. And I'm going to go back and look at that play from last week that Greg was describing, when
touchdown pass.
He rolls
out
and 60 yeah. yards in the air. And Shadur's got a big arm. And I don't know if he sees it yet to the caliber of an NFL quarterback. He's still so early in his career as a starter. But he's got a big, big-time arm. And that's where you think about this game. And, you know, Kevin Stefanski, can he dial up against the Niner pressure that's not really that imposing? Are they going to take some shots down the field against the 49ers?
Yeah, it's a Warriors Wednesday. We will talk more Warriors coming up later. Plus, we do have Tim Roy coming on in about 20 minutes. Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studio.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up, and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell fuel rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.